when a lot of people think about long-term care insurance, they're thinking about what I and other people call long-term care 1.0. We really didn't have the same kind of modeling available in terms of how long-term care products and needs would happen, what the expenses would be, how the market would perform.
As an advisor group, we need to speak positively about the industry, but we also need to be realistic and honest to talk about some of the ways that we can now address these needs that maybe weren't as available or as desirable as they were a few years ago.
Hi, this is the Insights Panel podcast from Brighthouse Financial, a podcast for financial professionals about retirement planning. We bring you insights from leading experts to help you stay ahead of the curve and have more productive conversations with your clients. My name is Amy He, and in this episode, we want to take a look at how the long-term care market is adapting to clients' needs. Long-term care products have come a long way since their inception in the 1980s. And in this episode, our experts give us a brief history of the market, the different features of the standalone and hybrid product categories, and how they can potentially fit in a client's portfolio today. Speaking to us in this episode are J. Michael Collins, financial capability expert and faculty director of the Center for Financial Security at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and Betty Dahl, long-term care expert and coach. First, Michael gives us an overview of the long-term care market.
When a lot of people think about long-term care insurance, they're thinking about what I and other people call long-term care 1.0, that first generation of long-term care products launched in the 80s and 90s, oftentimes sold through employers, where people would pay an annual premium to get some coverage in the future for their long-term care needs. There's a lot of assumptions that were made around those products. And the big problem that was in that market is that it was written by companies who didn't have really any data to go on. We in the life insurance market have had lots of, generations of data to predict how long people are going to live and what the risks are for earlier death. We really didn't have the same kind of modeling available in terms of how long-term care products and needs would happen, what the expenses would be, how the market would perform, how long would people keep paying those premiums and keep those policies in place. So all those challenges led to basically an underpricing of these insurance products. So the premiums started to creep up. And consumers complained as prices started to rise on these premiums. There's a lot of potential risk of the insurance pools not being able to pay out what they had promised, and that just created a big backlash.
Has the market responded to these changes?
There have been new products that have been developed. Some call them hybrid products or asset-based products, annuity-based products. There's different ways these have been structured. But they're new ways to think about taking care of these long-term care needs, some of which really are just trying to meet consumers where they're at and come up with better ways to sort of meet these financial obligations that people have in the future.
Despite the changes the market is experiencing, what opportunities do advisors have if they help clients cover for long-term care?
As people begin to think about their retirement planning, especially if they're taking a holistic view, a long-term view, making some realistic plans about what their assets are going to be like as they spend them down, that we have this decumulation phase we think about as people are no longer piling in money but starting to spend the money and consume the money in old age, that long-term care is the biggest expense that people could potentially face. And so for somebody who realistically understands what that risk is, they potentially could be setting aside hundreds of thousands of dollars in, relatively safe assets that they're holding back, that they're not going to use for anything else just in case they need to cover these needs. So that's, potentially several hundred thousand dollars that they're not putting into the rest of their portfolio. Taking care of that long-term care risk that they face, that expense in the future that they face, allows them now to sort of free up their existing assets today, not have to set aside this sort of rainy day fund, these precautionary savings, and to, use the assets they have today maybe a little more aggressively or try to deal with other goals that they have rather than just setting aside quite so much for this long-term care need that they might eventually have to face.
That was Michael with an introduction on how the long-term care market has evolved. Next, I asked long-term care expert Betty Dahl to explain the different product categories. I first asked her to explain how standalone or traditional products work.
So traditional long-term care products, which we also refer to as standalone products because they stand alone in covering long-term care benefits. They don't provide any other type of benefit in terms of a death benefit or cash value to them. But they work in terms of you decide at the time of purchase how much coverage you want. How much do you want available in today's dollar per month of care? How long would you want that policy to pay for care if needed? Do you want that policy benefit to grow with what we call an inflation rider that increases the value of that policy? Those are all decisions that are made at the time of purchase. And with those policies, I often tell my clients, it's the worst money you ever spent until the day you need it. And they can all finish that sentence. They all understand that. It's pure insurance. It's like your homeowner's insurance. It's like your auto insurance. It is a wonderful thing to have if you have a claim.
How do the newer hybrid products work?
Hybrid products work in much the same way as the standalone products in terms of the decision points that are made at the time of purchase. You still decide how much coverage you want, how long you would want it to pay for your care. You can address inflation. The difference is that there is a death benefit that is there if care is not needed. So you have this wonderful long-term care benefit if needed. And many people like this because they know that someone will get something out of the policy at some point in time.
For advisors who don't have a lot of experience with long-term care products, what would be a good way to begin explaining hybrids?
The base of these policies is generally a life insurance policy. It's a way to link the two of them together, and it is a way to make it a much more palatable, for lack of a better word, type of product for a client to have. It is not a situation where that advisor feels like they are having to convince this person that they might need care. Advisors don't know that. None of us know who will need care and who will not. So in this scenario, you have the long-term care coverage there if needed, but if it's not, there is still that death benefit. And that is a more comfortable conversation for many advisors.
Can you also explain how long-term care premiums work?
The premiums for a long-term care insurance product are dependent upon the amount of coverage that is purchased. So the amount of coverage purchased, along with the age of the applicant, the gender, their health history, their marital status, all of those things go into determining what that premium will be. If there is an inflation option included, it will increase the cost, but it will also increase the benefits over time. So there are a lot of moving parts to these policies. And those moving parts, then combined with whether or not it is a hybrid policy that has that death benefit, all of those different factors contribute to the premium. I think it can be a little confusing for people who maybe talk to their next-door neighbor or talk to their brother-in-law who has long-term care insurance, and they're making a comparison that isn't there. That person may be a different age. They may have an entirely different type of policy or different level of coverage. And it's hard to explain to people sometimes that we can set policies up to do a lot of different things, and how we set that up is what determines that price. The coverage is determined by the decisions that are made. The premiums then are determined by the coverage that is put in place. And everyone has different needs. Everyone has a different budget. Everyone is trying to protect different things or different people. So we need to take all of that into account.
How many years of coverage do people actually need?
That is the great unknown. I wish I had a way to answer that question. And if I did, I think I would probably be in very high demand, both within the insurance industry and also for clients who are considering long-term care insurance. We simply don't know. Generally speaking, about 20% of claims go beyond the five-year mark. And those are claims for some of those extended illnesses, such as Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, but they also can be for people who were in a serious car accident, people who are simply old and frail. Claims happen for any number of different health reasons. People need care for different scenarios. So we don't know how long people will need care. All we can do is find out what their concerns are, maybe get a little bit of family history, what they have seen happen within their own families, and to take those kinds of things into account. I worked with a couple a number of years ago who came in, and as it turned out, they had looked at long-term care insurance a few years before. And when I asked her why they had not moved forward with getting coverage at that point in time, her answer to me was very striking. She said, well, the person who showed it to us said that this policy would cover care for 3 years for me. And she said, my mother was in a nursing home for 13 years. I don't see any reason to get something that won't cover me for as long as I need it. That was very striking to me because what it told me was that the advisor that they had worked with hadn't heard her story. That advisor didn't know that her mother had needed care for that long period of time. That advisor simply packaged a 3-year plan for her. There is no policy that I know that is limited to paying for care for 3 years. That's a decision that can be made, whether 3 years, 6 years, 4 years, depending on the carrier, you have different options. But that advisor failed to ask what that family's experience had been and therefore missed an opportunity to really tailor a plan to meet the needs of that client, to meet the concerns of that client. So if we can get their stories, it's going to help us to position the product to meet the goals that they are trying to reach.
How can advisors make the long-term care planning process as simple as possible for clients?
I think advisors can make the process of talking about long-term care planning easier for their clients by kind of easing into the topic, by having a conversation. Somehow, there often seems to be a lot of mystery surrounding talking about long-term care insurance. Advisors need to remember back to when they were new advisors. Talking about investments was new and different and maybe scary, and they were a little bit uncomfortable or uncertain talking about it. They may have had the same experience when they started doing life insurance or some other product. We simply have to get up to speed. We have to get comfortable with it ourselves. And then we need to have a conversation with our client. Not the heavy-duty sales pitch. We don't need to quote a lot of statistics. We don't need to try to convince them that they're going to go into a nursing home. None of those are effective. It's a planning conversation. It's talking about what that person's goals are if they were to need care in the future. And those goals are almost always to stay at home and not to be dependent upon a family member. That is the thing that I hear most often. And those are the kinds of comments that advisors will get if they ask a client, if you were to need care in the future, what would you want that situation to look like? So we're talking about what their goals are for the future. Then we start to talk about how we can make that happen from a financial perspective. Let's make sure that everything is taken care of. Let's make sure that you, the planner, have planned for this contingency and we can check it off the list.
If clients have concerns or misunderstandings about how long-term care products work, how can advisors best help address their concerns?
I think advisors need to be up to date on what is happening and understand what has contributed to that. The low interest rate environment has affected other investments. It has affected other types of insurance. It has affected long-term care insurance. So for an advisor to understand that, to talk positively about the need to plan, to talk about the fact that these carriers are still taking care of their clients, that they are paying claims, and to help clients understand that there are options that are available that have some built-in guarantees, that have some built-in prices, that have built-in benefits can be huge. So as an advisor group, we need to speak positively about the industry, but we also need to be realistic and honest, but to talk about some of the ways that we can now address these needs that maybe weren't as available or as desirable as they were a few years ago.
How can advisors stay up to date with what's happening in a fast-paced industry?
There is a great deal of information that is available online in terms of continuing education classes. There are certification classes in long-term care planning. There are a lot of different resources that are out there. It's really interesting because we have clients who come in who have done a lot of work on the internet looking at options that are out there and trying to gather information. Some of that information is very dated and very old, and we as advisors need to make sure that we are looking at new information, that we are reading up on what is happening in the industry today. And there are a lot of publications that are out there besides the actual continuing education type of courses.
That was Betty on how advisors can make long-term care as simple as possible for themselves and for their clients. Thanks to Betty and Michael for their insights, and don't forget to join us for the next episode of the Insights Panel podcast when our experts unpack why clients and advisors alike find long-term care discussions uncomfortable to have and how advisors can overcome their blockers to have better conversations with their clients. You can find more episodes of the Insights Panel podcast on brighthousefinancialpro.com/insightspanel or subscribe for free through any podcast app to receive new episodes direct to your mobile device. Stay ahead of the curve with the Insights Panel from Bright House Financial. This information is brought to you courtesy of Bright House Financial, Inc., that provides, through its affiliates, annuities and life insurance products issued by Bright House Life Insurance Company, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28277, and in New York only by Bright House Life Insurance Company of New York, New York, New York, 10017. The opinions expressed are those of the speakers, and the information presented is for educational purposes only. Speakers were compensated for their participation as subject matter experts, for financial professional use only, not for public distribution. Research cited within this podcast include the following: PwC, Formal Costs of Long-Term Care Services, 2017.